Well, hello, everyone. This is Tanya Gabrielle, and this is our June Numerology Academy monthly call, our support call. And I know last time we had a bit of a issue where you couldn't actually hear me. And since it's Mercury retrograde right now, I just want to throw it out there that, well, you wouldn't hear me if I actually ask you, but if for some reason the sound goes out and you don't hear me, could you please email me or Molly at support@tanyagabrielle.com, because I actually can't see when you can't hear me. So because it's Mercury retrograde, I thought I'd just start off the call that way. And actually, I do want to talk to you all a little bit about this particular Mercury retrograde, because it is turning out to be quite a big, big, deep event concerning relationships. As you know from my June forecast video, if you watch that, which hopefully you all do every month, because it'll give you a lot of insights for your clients and obviously for yourself. As I said in that forecast video, this particular month and this retrograde is very much about our relationships, intimate business, close friends, especially family and you know, our lovers. So what I have been finding with clients and even friends is that there's a huge amount of energy stirring up regarding, and not in a, I'm not talking negatively or positively, but it's being stirred up regarding our ability to love one another, and to realize how important that love really is the only reality. There's nothing more important, and there's really nothing else that exists in the end besides, you know, the love that we feel. And with my clients and friends, there have been some very dramatic incidences where either there's been a sudden death in the family from, you know, from being fully conscious, healthy, 100% there to 2 hours later having, you know, something dramatic happen, or family issues that come up during this time that need to be resolved, where there has to be compassion and love shown towards the other person who may be going through something but is treating, you know, you or somebody in your family in a way that is challenging. So those are more the difficult sides of this Mercury retrograde, which is slowing us down to have us look into our hearts and souls about a relationship. The positive side is, though, there as well. So first of all, of course, if you have a challenge, if you can look at it and move through it from a point of view of unconditional love, always, you know, unconditional love, you will make tremendous, tremendous breakthroughs and open up new doors in your life. From the point of view of positive developments, you are meeting people or cementing relationships with people you have known or recently met that are going incredibly deep. And so there is a real beautiful opportunity here to feel love on a very new and more profound level than ever before. And so really, it's a super growth period, deep transformation period here with this Mercury retrograde in June. It happens to be in June, and of course Mercury rules Gemini, so it's even more profound because of that. Now Mercury is moving into Cancer, which is also very much a sign of love, during this retrograde on the 17th of June. So see, if things need to be resolved, they will start to resolve at that point. Okay, so having said that, I also want to do a little bit of a preview for all of you of the coming months and some of the lunations that are coming up so that you can use those for your readings for clients. If you notice in your clients that any one of their numbers, their three important core numbers, are resonating to any of these numbers that I'm going to throw out at you, always pay attention. So, for example, the new moon on June 27th, that's already a number right there, 27 and 9, right? So if you have a 9 in your blueprint, or your clients do that, that's an important placement, this new moon will have an even more profound effect on you. So So this new moon happens at 5 degrees, which means it's very much about pivot points, decisions, surprising events, and really understanding that you have a lot of choices but need to buckle down on which direction you want to take. It's a new moon, always obviously, is new beginnings, so it's a perfect time to make that decision and move forward. It also trines, this is a beautiful trine to Neptune at 7 degrees. Neptune's at 7 degrees, the new moon's at 5 degrees. The new moon is, of course, in Cancer, and Neptune is in Pisces, which it will be in for many, many years, another decade or so. These are very beautiful, sensitive, emotional, heart-centered signs, and they tie directly into the love theme that I just alluded to before when I spoke about the Mercury retrograde. So it truly is, again, a reinforcement of that love in your life, and the love tinged, of course, with spirituality, because here we have Neptune, the most spiritual of all planets, because it goes to the deepest waters, the waters that are completely dark, where light cannot even reach the water, so it's the depth of your soul. This planet forming a beautiful harmonic trine to the new moon is just an incredible sign of new beginnings. You're going to really feel a shift at this time. And of course, a couple days later, on July 1st, we have Mercury going direct again. So that is a beautiful moment for us to look forward to. Speaking of July, one more thing about this new moon before I go into July. It does form opposition, which is 180 degrees, to Pluto. And Pluto is at 12 degrees, so it's a pretty wide opposition, right? The new moon is at 5 degrees, Pluto is at 12 degrees, that's a 7-degree difference. So, but it still is going to be felt, even though that's a wide aspect. So again, look at the number 12, which is a 3. Look at the number 5, which, you know, in your charts, in your numerology charts, and look at the number 7 in regards to Neptune. Those are the numbers you want to pay attention to during this time. So Pluto forming this opposition is really a journey to tap deep into your innermost resources. Those resources you may not have used, and, you know, with the Cardinal Grand Cross in April, everything we're experiencing now is brand new. You're going on a new journey now, so these resources that you're discovering in regards to Pluto new moon at the end of this month are new resources you didn't know you had. So they are going to empower you, which is what Pluto does. Pluto is the planet of power and empowerment. It starts with a P, Pluto, so that's an easy way to remember that connection. So, you know, if you have power issues with anyone or feel disempowered because it's at 12 degrees, which in numerology can be called the victim number. That's my name for that number when it's about current cycles. It can feel that way to you. So if you feel disempowered or victimized, this is your chance to jump out of that and really confront it, right, and take the power back. That's the gift of Pluto during this time, okay? All right, so let's then move into July. We have, of course, Mercury going direct on July 1st, a beautiful moment there for all of us who, you know, want to move forward again. Like I said, this month is profound. You just won't feel as strongly connected to putting new programs into action. So it's more about looking at past goals, past ideas, and completing those and reflecting on what you want to do in the future. So once it's July, you can start moving forward with those new goals. New moon will have just happened as well. And then on July 12th, here we have another 12 for you. There's the full moon at 20 degrees in Capricorn. Now, this 20 degrees in Capricorn actually continues the relationship theme that was started in June. Even it was started in May, as you know, with the whole Venus combination that we had in May. So this relationship theme is continuing in July with this full moon at 20 degrees. 20 is a 2, and it happens at 11:26 a.m., which is also, you know, the 11 itself is a number of relationships, right? So we continue that. That's you want to find that in your chart. So 20 degrees Capricorn, go find that, see where that is, which house it's in, how it affects you. And then on the 26th of July, we have the new moon at 3 degrees. So this is more a joyous celebration here. We have it in Leo at 3 degrees. It's a beautiful location for just feeling the sun come in and a new beginning, a feeling of joy. 3 is the number of joy. Notice how many 12, 3, or 3s we have this month with the lunations. This is important. So if you are a 3, you will definitely be activated at this time. This new moon happens at 10:43 p.m. Universal Time. So this is also, in a way, very empowering because that adds up to 8. 10:43 adds up to 8. So that'll give us a power surge in a good way. And I'll, of course, talk a lot more about this in my forecast video for July coming out at the end of this month. So that's a little bit of a preview for you as to how to handle the energies. I do want to remind you that we are in a 13 month now, and that means July is 14. 13 is very, very much about life, death, transformation. So all the sudden events that you are experiencing or noticing in other areas of life are natural in a cycle that is a 13, right? It just so happens that it's coupled with a very strong Mercury retrograde and other numbers for the lunations that are extremely powerful as well. So, you know, it is definitely a chance to grow, and as long as you don't shy away from what's confronting you. Okay, so just be aware of that. And then in July, we have a much more fun 14-5, which is very playful and joyous and humorous and adventurous and perfect for, you know, if you want to travel and just get out there and enjoy yourself and be social and connect with people. So that month, in a different way, will bring surprises as well, more in line with also having to make quick decisions, but also in terms of unexpected events that you just have to, that actually force you to just, you know, make up your mind about what it is you want to do. Okay, so that's a quick overview. I'm going to open up the floor to questions now. I do have a couple of emails that are extensive that I will go over in a sec, but if you press *6, you can talk to me in person. And just so you know, today I will be having to go only until 1:15, which is an hour from now. So I have a previously scheduled commitment that I need to get to, but that should give us enough time. So opening the floor, press *6, and while I have you all line up for your questions, I'm going to answer a couple of emails. The first one is from Lorraine, and Lorraine says, I have a couple of questions about determining fortunate days based on the birth blueprint. It appears that you work with the number 6 from your blueprint. Now, I don't know what you're referring to when you refer to my blueprint. What there are 3 important birth numbers, so you don't just refer to one. So let me get into your questions, and then I'll explain what I mean. So when selecting a fortunate day for launching something within your business, do you use just the day, today being a 16, the 16th, which is a 7, or do you use the entire date? So today would be a 20 day, right? 6 plus 1 plus 6 plus 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 4. Okay, so this is a sort of complex question because you're talking about universal dates and days. It's the universal 16-7 day, and it's a universal 20 date, right? So we have a 7 and a 2 activated universally. But what really matters, Lorraine, I mean, those numbers do matter, but they're secondary to your personal cycles. So you would want to take, you want to do the same thing but with your birthday, okay? So you want to take your birthday, which I explained in Numerology Academy Level 1. You want to take the month and day, add 2014. figure out your personal year, add the month for June, and then add the month for today. Whatever number that comes out to, you then see if it resonates with one of your three important birth numbers. So that answers your next question, which is, do you consider other numbers from your blueprint when selecting a fortunate day? Yes. The important numbers in your birth code are your day of birth, your life purpose, which is your full birthday number, and your destiny number, which is your full birth name number. Those are all described in the Numerology Academy chart that you received upon joining Numerology Academy. So those three birth numbers are the ones you refer to when selecting fortunate days in the month. For example, let's say the number 5 is one of your three personal birth numbers, because let's say you were born on the 23rd, and that's a 5, okay? So 5 is one of your three important numbers. So anytime you have a fortunate date that adds up to 5, which would be 5, 14, and 23, right? If you have a personal day that resonate to that, then that's a fortunate day for you. The same goes, too, for universal days. So if it is the 23rd or the 14th or the 5th, that has an effect on you as well, because your number is being triggered. One of your three important numbers is being triggered. Now, is that a fortunate day for you? Personally, it's a good day, but it's not a personal fortunate day. The personal fortunate day is only calculated from your birthday, right? So you need to know your personal year, then you figure out your personal month for June, and then you figure out your personal day for today. That is what you consider your fortunate or regular days, okay? So, this works for business too. If you're launching something within your business, these are the dates you want to use. These are the numbers you want to use. Then you ask, do you approach selecting fortunate days differently for different types of events? Product launch, sales versus networking relationships. Okay, so that's a very good question as well. If you are launching an event and this is business-oriented, you do want to focus on numbers that activate your abundance code. So let's say you're born on a 4-day, let's say you're born on the 31st, which is a 4-day, a good numbers code for you would for generating abundance would be the number 6 and also the number 8. So those are especially good for business, okay? Now, if you're asking me, what is a great personal day for relationships? Well, since you are born on a 4-day, the number 2 is in your triad. 2, 4, and 8 are in one triad, and that is very much about relationships, and so is the number 6. So the 6 applies to both business and relationships in that case. There's a whole art to doing this where you actually correlate certain numbers with certain outcomes, and this is something that I will be teaching in 2015, which is a huge wealth generation year, because it's the 15th year, and it's 2015 is an 8. So 15 is a 6, and 8 is obviously a powerful abundance number. So during that year, very early on, I will be releasing a wealth generation numerology training webinar, and that will actually teach you what I'm talking about now in much greater detail, so that you can correlate personal numbers with specifics when you're actually, you know, creating fortunate plans that you want to, you know, have evolve into fortunate results. Okay, so that is the answer to your question. Now, Lorraine, if you're on the call, press *6. If you have a follow-up or if you didn't understand something completely, or anybody else on the call, if you want more details about any of these questions, just press *6 so we can address them with you, okay? So, all right. Now, let's go to another question. Actually, this is a series of two questions from Jacqueline. You say, hope all is going well with you and your family. My sister's only child just made her transition a few weeks back unexpectedly. There have been so many deaths since January. Wow. That's quite dramatic. We're in a seven universal year. I keep forgetting to mention that. And seven is the lightning strike number. So yes, we are experiencing these out of the blue, quote unquote, lightning strikes in our life. And sometimes that does involve people passing away. I've certainly experienced it in my family with two deaths so far of older generation, but they both happened within, you know, a couple months of each other, and friends of mine as well. So that's not to say that this year is about death. It's really about transformation, right, and waking up. And so when we have a death in the family, it reminds us of our connection, our love, and our journey. And so as challenging as a child dying is, I couldn't even imagine that. That must be the most difficult of all. I can't imagine. I really feel for you and your sister about that. So now, okay, so you have two questions here that I can answer. The other question you have, as I emailed you, is for tomorrow's future forecast formula. Okay, so I'm going to go to your question two. I took my computer to the shop, and now my Solar Fire computer program has to be reloaded. Without discussing my birth information, will you please tell me where my progressed sun and moon are in the charts and what that means for me? Is there some theme that I could be doing this year? Okay, let me answer that first. It's sort of a two-part question. So for you, let's see, I'm getting your chart out. Your progressed moon is in the ninth house. And it just entered a month ago or so, it entered Gemini. So that's a big shift. Whenever your progressed moon enters a new sign or enters a new house, you will feel a shift in your life. So your progressed moon about a month, month and a half ago, entered Gemini. And that's, of course, so important for you, as you know, Jacqueline, because Gemini rules your midheaven. It rules your career. And your ascendant is ruled by Virgo. Okay, so for you, this is huge. I mean, basically, the most important parts of your life, you personally and your career, are being now awakened for the next 2.5 years as the moon goes through the sign of Gemini for you personally, okay? Because it takes the moon approximately 2.5 years to go through a sign. So what does that mean for you? Well, obviously, a big awakening and a big unfolding and activation of your standing in the world, your business. And as the moon approaches your midheaven, which is at 23 degrees, so we're talking about 22 months from, no, not 22, let's see, 21. Yeah, about 21 months from now, the moon will actually be conjunct. And I can check that for you another time, but it's a long ways away. So you have a long period here where the moon is moving towards Gemini and then actually conjuncting your actual midheaven, meaning it'll be at the exact same place as your midheaven. So yes, it's really a very important moment for you, both personally and career-wise regarding that. Your progressed sun is in the fourth house, and you asked a question about how long each progressed planet stays where they are at. Well, the moon is the fastest moving one of all. The moon moves approximately 1 degree a month. This is the progressed moon, okay? The progressed sun moves 1 degree a year. Big difference. So your progressed sun is in the fourth house, or it's going to be in the fourth house for another 17 years. It's right in the middle of the house right now. So you don't really feel that effect as strongly as when it actually entered the house, which would have been about 17 years ago it entered that house. So, but now it's in the house. It's been there for a long time. How is it affecting you? Well, when it makes aspects, important aspects to other planets, you feel it much more strongly, okay? Or if this progressed sun at 10 degrees in Capricorn, which is where it is at right now, if that progressed sun is somehow triggered in another way, you will feel it as well by transit. But really the most important thing is, when does this progressed sun touch any of your personal planets? And I don't see that happening at this moment, but it is definitely playing a role, okay? So being in Capricorn and being in your fourth house, which is all about grounding energy, right? Cementing things and laying down roots for both the fourth house and Capricorn. That's the case. Okay, so then let's see. I said it was a two-part question. You asked, how does the eclipse affect me and what houses? Well, real quick, the eclipses I believe you're talking about were the ones in April that framed either side of the Cardinal Grand Cross, right? So let's see. The first eclipse for you, I did mark that into your birth chart. Okay, so first eclipse for you, which happened on April 15th, which is the full moon eclipse at 25 degrees in Libra. That would be your second house, okay? So that's where that happened. That would be the house of money and values. The second eclipse, which is the new moon eclipse, happened on 29th of April, and that happened at 8 degrees in Taurus. And by the way, for the full moon eclipse that happened on the 15th of April, the sun is in the 8th house for you. Okay, the moon is in the second, the sun is opposite in the eighth. That's what makes it a full moon. The new moon eclipse also happens in the eighth house at 8 degrees. So for you, this eighth house and second house are really, really triggered for the next year. And the eighth house is money owed to you. As you know, it is about transformation, sexuality, crisis, change, personal growth, transformation, your partner's resources if you have one. Going deeply into your psychology. And so in the second house, of course, is it, like I said, about your values and money, and also, you know, just seeing how you feel about your self-worth, right? So, and personal possessions. So that's a big theme for you. I like how it ties into this progressed moon just entering Gemini for you. So I really like this combination because it allows you to really feel out now and activate some prosperity, because these are the two money homes, money houses. So, and with in conjunction with your progressed moon here, this is really nice combination for you, you know, to really generate some excitement and fire in your business. Okay, and then quickly, real quick, you asked, does the phase that the moon is in now mean anything in my chart? If so, what? The phase that the moon is in now. Well, we have a new moon coming up on the 27th, and I can just quickly check that for you. That I said was in 5 degrees Cancer, which in your chart is in the 10th house. So we have, again, the same theme. In fact, it's conjuncting your Uranus at 4 degrees Cancer, so they're just a degree apart. So when this new moon happens on the 27th of June, Jacqueline, you will feel a major shift. Uranus is being conjuncted by the full moon, by the new moon. So this is a new beginning, an exciting new beginning. It's in your 10th house of career and higher standing. So I think you'll like this very, very much. And expect the unexpected at this point. Okay, so just be prepared, be ready, and you'll experience some really nice shifts here. Okay, so again, I'm now taking calls. I answered the email questions. Get in line by pressing *6, and I will get to you. So really, anything can be asked, no matter where you are in Numerology Academy. You can be beginning the journey right now, or you can be advanced, a certified practitioner. It doesn't matter. I do want to hear from you because we're all in this together. And the great thing is you'll be able to access these calls and go back to them just to refer to them. Okay, so let's go to the first person here. This is Jen, I believe. Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Great, thanks.
So what's your question?
So my question, I have a couple of questions. One is about the what you were talking about in the first question about the when you're picking dates or fortunate dates, etc. Mm-hmm. So when you're actually doing that for somebody and they obviously, you know, they have their three numbers and you figure out, okay, which are the numbers that are in alignment with which thing, right, whether it's fortunate for money, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if the numbers don't, you know, because when you look at if the numbers are how they are in relationship to one another, do you know what I mean? Like, say if they have a 3 and a 4 and a 6 or something.
Are you talking about the three birth numbers now?
Yeah, yeah, the three major numbers. That, mm-hmm. You know, what if they're not in alignment with each other, right?
Oh, they usually aren't. It's rare that they're all in the same triad. So yeah, I mean, that's a good question. So some people, and this makes it sort of interesting, some people have one number in each triad, which means that, seriously, at this point, you just want to look at those three numbers when they come up. So, for example, if somebody has a 3, a 7, and an 8, these are all in different triads, then you only really want to check dates that, and this is what I do anyway, for fortunate dates, to look at those personal days that add up to 3, 7, and 8 for that person. And by the way, don't forget personal months and personal years, because they also make a difference. They, when they are triggered and they resonate with your three important birth numbers, right, that you really will experience a lot more energy, and it will just get much more intense, and you'll have more opportunities, more challenges, which are disguised opportunities. In the end, as you actually deal with the challenge, it becomes a great opportunity for you to grow. So those are the years and months and, of course, days that you really have that joie de vivre to move forward.
Okay, so you look at the three important numbers and then the numbers that relate to them?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That add up to those exact numbers.
Yeah. And then what about in a situation, if the person has a 4 and, you know, is a major, like the day they're born, you know, or they, you know, one of the major numbers, and they are missing the 4 and the 8 in their name, and they're in an 8 year. Like, is there some karmic thing that could be? I know it's a growth. Obviously, there's growth when that happens, right?
Yeah.
But
don't forget,
is there anything,
though, just remember when you say a 4 in any of their three numbers, it actually doesn't count for the destiny number. This karmic
I know.
I'm not counting. So it's just life, purpose, and day.
Yeah.
I just want to make that clear for the other members. It's not a destiny number. So, yeah, if you have a 4 day of birth, meaning 31st, 22nd, 13th, or 4th, you're born on that day, or your life purpose reduces to 4, and you're asking about an 8 personal day.
Yeah.
An eight, okay.
Yeah, 8 year. They're in an 8 year, and then, you know, obviously 8 is a number that comes up that's their money number. So if they're looking for fortunate days, I have to look at 8 because there isn't, you know, there's only so many numbers.
Well, they have other numbers, though, too. I mean, they don't just have the 4, do they? They have numbers.
Yeah, they have 4 and 3 and I think 10, I think, or 11.
So 1,
11,
3,
yeah.
and 4? Or 11?
Yeah, 11. I think it's 11.
Okay.
11 and 4, and then the 3.
Okay, so 11 is 2. So the three important numbers are 2, 3, and 4. Okay, so you're not just working with the 4. So if you want to find a fortunate day, definitely I would count 8 as one of them because you have a 2 and a 4, and it completes the triad. So if you're looking for an abundance day, you can choose that. You know, it's not going to be necessarily karmic because it carries the infinity vibration with it. This is for business now, I'm telling you this, okay? This is not in general the fortunate days I would list. I'm just telling you for a business question. As for other fortunate days, definitely any 3-day, any 4-day, any 2-day would be very important for this person.
Okay.
Right, because they have those three numbers.
Okay, so basically just focusing on the numbers that they have as fortunate days. for.
Yes, those are the definite fortunate days, and then you can add to that depending on what question you have, right? Mm. So if the question is business or money-oriented, then there are other numbers you can look at as well that will be good for them. But in general, to make it just really straightforward, it's just the three important birth numbers and your personal days resonating to those same numbers.
So then if they were talking, is it better to be talking on a 3 day since they don't actually have a five?
Oh, yeah, 3 days, beautiful. I mean, if you're saying if they want to create a video or give a speech or something?
Yeah, give a speech.
Yeah, if they have a choice in the matter, sometimes you don't, right, if you're being asked to do it. But if they do have a choice in the matter, meaning like creating a webinar or video, absolutely, 3 days are beautiful. Also 2 days because you're communicating two in a two-day, right? So it's
All right, yeah. I just wanted to know if I was getting, you know, the right feel for it because, you know, I have to.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so many days and with all the other things involved. So none of that other stuff applies. Like when you add the number together and say, okay, well, it's an 18-day, for instance, an 18-9-day.
That does apply. It does apply, but it is, I mean, if the person is a 9, and you're talking about an 18-9 personal day for that person, it's very, very important. And it's just a day that that person will feel very creative, you know, very emotional. It's an emotional triad. So to watch that. Always be careful when you're dealing with the emotional triad. For example, yesterday we had the 15th. Anybody who has a 3-6-9 on a 15-day, for example, which is a 6, will just feel a little bit more emotional that day. So that's just in general, okay? Anybody with mind numbers on a 1-5-7 universal day, so today's the 16th, for example, that's a 7, is going to receive more insights just naturally because the number is being activated on the calendar. So this is another thing you can share with your clients, right? So you can even use those. So if your client, for example, can't fit a day that you give him or her with the plan that they have, you can also throw out the universal date. You see what I mean? The actual day. Because you can explain to them that, well, because it's resonating with your exact number or with your triad and this is what you want to do, I suggest you may also, you know, try scheduling it on one of these days, right? So you have flexibility in that regard because numbers are a language and they're not just exclusively personal. They also do affect you in a universal way. That goes for everybody in the 7 personal year. If you are 1-5-7, you're going to feel this year. It's going to be pretty dramatic for you in some way, you know?
Yeah. So in the same way, if like some of my clients, they have, you know, their calendar runs for part of the year identically to the universal calendar.
Yes. Intense.
Intense. Yeah, that was what I was figuring, but I just wanted to get more insight. And then I have another question. Thank you so much for that clarification. My other question is about the Saturn return, because I have a client who is born the same year as me, and she's born in July, okay? Mm-hmm. So she's born in the middle of July. I think it's the 21st, I've forgotten. But her Saturn return, when I look at the head, is before mine, and I know that's because her degree is less. Does that make sense? Hers is in November and mine is in December and I'm born in May and she's born in July.
Well, if Saturn was retrograde, it would make sense.
Oh, maybe it was retrograde.
Because her Saturn, the only way it would make sense if she's born after you is if Saturn was retrograde, which most likely it was if her Saturn return is before yours.
Yeah, because the number, her degree is less than mine, right?
It was retrograde.
Okay.
Went retrograde after your birthday or was retrograde when your birthday happened. But at some point between her birthday and yours, it went retrograde and backtracked over your degree back into the lower degrees. And that's why that happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I was like trying to figure out how is that possible that she goes, she has her Saturn return before me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, if you use your ephemeris too, you can see easily. Do you have an
ephemeris? I should go look at it. Yeah.
I like the recent ones. When I first was using ephemerises, they did not have the grayed out retrograde sections. But now it's wonderful. They actually gray out a planet, and so you can see when it's retrograde really quickly. So it's a really good tool to use.
That's fabulous. And then just one last quick question. So if, for instance, if I look at my chart or my client's chart and I see that, okay, the moon, for instance, like my moon, I think it's 3 degrees, right? Or two degrees. No, I think it's 2 degrees. So if the moon is at 2 degrees, even though it's in a different house or whatever it's doing, does that affect me?
Oh, yeah. All the degree numbers in your astrology chart are part of your code. It's part of your soul's birth code. So the moon at 2 degrees, you have to know what the moon stands for, right? It's your emotional center.
Yeah.
And it's closely aligned with your feelings, your moods, your instincts. Your deepest personal needs are associated with the moon. So at 2 degrees, your deepest emotional needs are fulfilled in relationships for you, whether they're intimate or friends, mentors. You are fulfilled deeply by relationships because 2 is the ultimate number of relationships, one-on-one, right, 2. So yeah, that's how you read that. You use the numerology and astrology and combine them for the storyline there. And then you look at the house, you know, it goes on and on, right? You spiral with this.
Yeah, but one of the things that I'm not sure about, and I don't know if that's because it depends on the planet, but say sometimes you say, oh, well, you know, like Uranus, say the person's degree is 5 and Uranus is 6, like that's close. Like how do you determine when that, you know, when that
What do you mean
is,
if Uranus is 5 and the planet is 6? I don't understand your question.
Like,
it's
say
either 5 or 6.
Okay, but like sometimes you say, well, it's very close, like when the degree is very close. Say my client's Uranus, their birth chart is 6. And Uranus is conjuncting the moon, for instance, at a 5. Would that be have no effect, or it does have an effect?
Well, any conjunction that happens with a slow-moving planet, so if Uranus is the transiting planet, you have to give a big orb, right? Because it's just it's going to be there for a while, crossing over back and forth. If the moon is transiting Uranus, that doesn't matter at all because the moon moves way too fast around. The transiting moon, I'm talking, not progress.
Progress moon
is huge. But yeah, the orb for conjunctions is usually around 6 or so degrees, depending on the planet, right? The slower moving ones, I would say maybe 5. The faster moving ones, you feel it a little earlier. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Have a good month.
You too.
Thank you. Okay, so let's go to Anonymous.
Oh,
hello.
Yes, hi. This is Beata.
Hi.
Yeah, coming back to the previous lady's question, talking about the different numbers in each, not having the same numbers in each, in a triad, like, my, so for example, my main numbers are 9, 7, 11, 2. Does that mean, like, you have to work harder in your life to reach your goals because there's so many different aspects, different numbers in each category? Whereas, say, you had numbers, like, in 3, 6, 9. Is that, would that be the case?
Very good question. Most people have one number in one triad and 2 in the other, or like you, they sometimes have them in all 3 triads, which is a bit more rare. It's also a bit more rare to have all of them in one. But because you have them in all 3, what happens is that it takes just a bit longer for you to discover how to combine all your various gifts into one package. So, for example, you may have done certain work earlier in your life and then switched your career somehow or made a decision to discover another part of you. And this would be a theme that goes through your life until you reach midlife. And at that point, 40s and 50s, you realize, okay, how to combine all your gifts, because you have so many, into one wonderful package. Does that make sense? So it just takes a bit longer, but it also makes you very, very well-rounded, because you can literally tap into the psyche of anyone when you have this kind of combination.
Also, the other question I wanted to ask, like, in the, you know how you have the relationship, how do you say it, whether the numbers are in harmony. Well,
yes.
I'm looking at the numbers 9 in my chart, 9, 7, and 11, too. Like, 9 and 7, I think they're in conflict. Does that, like, I know it's not really relationship reading, but can you use that also, like in your life, would that be a little bit more conflict? Like, saying, like, 9 and 2, like, they're more in harmony, but, like, 9 and 7 and 7 and 2, they're not so in harmony. So will I have more conflicts in my life, or...
That's a very fascinating question. I love it. Well, look, this is, like you said, it's about your relationship to you, very different than to another. So
mm-hmm.
what it actually shows is that at times you will be torn between
uh-huh.
one part of you who wants to go one direction and another part of you who's more inclined to go another direction. So for
uh-huh.
you, the head and the heart are sometimes battling each other. With this combo.
Yeah, I felt that. Yeah.
That the 9 is obviously the heart, unconditional love. 7 is the intellect and
mm-hmm.
the power of analysis that you have,
mm-hmm.
the intelligence. So they sometimes go head to head when you're not in balance. Now, the wonderful thing about your numbers is you have an 11-2. That is the number of balance. So now the opposite of this, the shadow side, is obviously being imbalanced and not feeling unfulfilled in some way, like something's missing, right? That can happen. So if you're imbalanced, then yes, the 9 and 7 will battle each other. If you really walk through that gateway and just say, you know, basically to hell with it, I'm just doing what I feel is right, and
uh-huh.
you take that risk and you don't think for a moment about how others feel about it or what your mind is trying to, you know, figure out about how it's all going to work, and you just release that, then that your powers of intuition, which are absolutely phenomenal with the 7 and the 11 that you have, are totally going to guide your way, and you'll be free from this battle that I'm talking about. So that's really the key for you.
Okay, thank you. Also, one other question, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
In my birth chart, I think my ascendant is like 5 degrees, 58 seconds. Would you consider that still as 5, or would you go there as 6? Because it's so close.
It's five. The first
okay.
number that counts. So whenever I make, I know it's almost 2 minutes away from 6.
Well,
and you
and
have
was,
your exact birth time, right? Is it totally exact? Because if it's not, it could be 6.
Well,
you know,
it could be. I don't have my exact birth time. I did a rectification once, and he said, "Oh, you were born around 6." He said 6 a.m., but I whether it's exact, I don't know.
Well, see, then I can't answer your question, because you really do need the exact time for me to tell you, are you a 6 or a 5 or even a 4 or a 7, because, you know, it does move around pretty quickly here every 5 minutes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So we can't really discuss that.
It's annoying me, because when I'm studying this course, it's I'm looking at my numbers, and I could be this and I could be that, and it's like... Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, though, about your planets, though, the only planet that might be affected is your moon, depending on where it is. So let me think. What degree, can you tell me the degree number of your moon?
It's 18 degrees. One moment. 18 degrees and I have to take my birth chart here. 18 degrees, 41 seconds.
Okay. That moon is most likely going to stay at 18 unless it's a really big difference, like an hour or so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but all the other planets are going to be correct. They don't change that quickly. So in terms of planets, you're fine. In terms of houses, you may be a degree or so off, but the houses are pretty secure in terms of first, second, third, fourth, fifth. It's just the degree number might be a little different.
And
which takes
precedence, the planets or the houses, like in importance of doing a reading?
Of the numbers?
Yeah.
Well, it depends, because you have the four angles. Those are extremely important.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
The ascendant, descendant are one number. The
yep.
Medium chili, immune chili
oh,
are another.
I see.
Those are very, very important. The others only really become important as you start translating the messages.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have an effect so much on your code, unless there's a repeated number that is over and over again a couple of houses.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but the planets are really important, especially
okay.
the personal planets, Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars. Those five are
yes.
super important.
Okay, interesting. Okay, can I just ask you one more question?
Sure.
I'm looking because I'm trying to do relationship reading, and do you recommend a program for better charts? Because the one in astro.com doesn't give you such a good
yes.
Way of looking at it, you know? You can't do the what is it called when two planets are together, the conjunctions?
Well, it's not. No, astro is definitely just for beginning, learning. But you definitely, eventually, if you're serious about this and you have clients, you want to invest in a software program.
Yeah.
And I have a Mac. For Mac, I recommend the EO, so it's the letter I and O edition.
IO. Okay, that's
yeah.
okay. Yes,
that's
IO.
What I
yeah,
I love how those charts look. I just resonate yeah. with how they look. I do not use their interpretations at all because I just
yes.
do my own.
Okay.
But you can use
okay.
them as guidance. I don't think they're that fantastic personally.
Okay.
There are
okay.
much better books out there if you want to use that. Then for PC, for those of you who are PC, it's WinStar that I recommend. I don't use it, but that's what all my colleagues in astrology mm-hmm. love. So
okay.
that's the one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You for now.
Have fun.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm still going through the most difficult I find at the moment is doing the, interpreting the transit and progressions. I find the astrology part a little bit difficult than the numerology.
Yes, it's complex and it does take time to just spend with it.
Yeah.
It can't just be learned in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You really do have
mm-hmm.
to look at your own chart, especially because that's a mm-hmm. fabulous way. And also, good friends and family, if you know their history, you can start really working with that
uh-huh.
And looking yeah. at, and even celebrities. Most of their
yeah.
astrology is up there. So if you know there's something happening, you can check it out and see, well, how do the progressions and transits work,
mm-hmm.
In regards to them. The more
mm-hmm.
you practice, the better, but it does take practice, like anything.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Okay, thank you,
You're
Tanya.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Okay, then we have 250 area code. Hello?
Fiona, up in
Hi,
Canada.
Hi, Fiona. How are you?
Good.
I'm going to see you in 3 days. Oh, no, you're not coming. I'm sorry.
I'm not.
Well, I know that you're going to, benefit from what the handouts will be this weekend. So,
perfect.
But what's your question for Numerology Academy?
Well, I'm just asking again for dates for myself. I'm worked through the process. I'm going to go back to my maiden name,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going. But so, is there a time frame that I should be doing this? Because I know with what you've just been talking about and the dates, I'm really activated in this time, and I'm just thinking, do I do it in? I mean, my first thing what I was going to do, I run an ad in the paper, and I was thinking, because I'm listed as Fiona Wilfley, and I'm thinking, I always test drive things out in the newspaper to see the reaction that I get locally
mm-hmm.
with changing things. So is there, when people do a name change, do you suggest, to look for a fortunate date or...
That's a very good question. Yes, actually, I think it's a good policy in general to have a fortunate date when you make a big change, right? I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. So if you want to guide your client in that direction, absolutely use one of their fortunate days and tell them, these are the days you can do it. Of course, you need to know their window of time so that you can advise them accordingly, right? So meaning if they don't plan to change it immediately, you might want to check with them about when they plan to do it and give them the dates for that
right.
particular time period. As for you personally putting an ad in, I would not do it until Mercury is direct again, so I wouldn't do it this month. You are in July moving into a brand new personal year, which is going to be quite extraordinary.
Right.
This is the 17-8. So I would wait till July, and I would do it, you know, again, pick what you're completely in one triad, as you know.
Yes.
With your three numbers. So I would pick one of those days. And if it was me, I would pick a six. Well, no, three is good too. Three is about communication. Any one of those, 3, 6, 9, anyone.
Okay.
Would work. Yeah. So.
Alrighty. That's,
yeah.
Just thought I'd bring that up because I'm kind of working more into this and want to offer this for people. I'm going, okay, I need to experience this from my own experience and work through and see. I mean, on the date that you actually officially change your name, do you really experience, you know, because I'm actually quite a feeler with the work
mm-hmm.
that I do. So I feel
of course.
Things. So
look at your triad.
So do I, is it quite a large feeling that I'll feel with doing that switch? Like
you mean you're asking for yourself to change the
name?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you just feel more connected because your code is activated.
Okay.
So now, it doesn't mean that you can't do it on another day. I mean, changing your name, I recommend to do it ASAP as soon as you know the info. So, you know.
Right.
I mean, it really is not going to affect the strength of the actual name on your life. You know, it's not going to affect that. What it will do is just make you feel more comfortable as you're undergoing the change. Because some people do feel, you know, a discomfort in the name change, right? So it gives you more support in that process of making the transformation.
Well, I guess
so,
it's because my maiden name, I'm going, no, I... But I just thought, what can someone expect then, and what is the with going through that process of a name change?
Well, they always expect some kind of transformation because your energy has totally shifted from
right.
a challenging frequency to a one that's fulfilling and supportive. And so, some people you will find in your practice are actually not ready for that. They actually will resist it, and that's totally okay. It's truly their decision when they want to make this move. But they will absolutely feel it. And so the response to the feeling, to the transformation, can be either, oh, I'm going for this, it totally makes sense, or, well, I'm not so sure, my family might not like it, and, you know, this or that.
Right.
There will be a resistance. And you want to work with them as best you can to find a spelling that they actually like. You know,
right.
because part of the resistance can be that there may just be a resistance to how the name looks. But to tell you the truth, though, it's the frequency that really yes. affects them. And they don't realize this. They attribute it to other things if they resist it. But it truly is that. You know,
so it's almost like if they're doing resistance to anything like that, it's at a, really at a subconscious level that they're resisting
oh,
it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, because they don't – most people – just can't even imagine how a name change would affect them this deeply because
right.
we're not raised in the Western world to even talk about frequency. It's not a world, it's not
yeah.
a word we deal with. So when I say your spiritual frequency is completely shifting with changing to a fortunate name, most people would that doesn't resonate with their intellect. So they're
right.
not listening with their heart to what that means, but they feel it. So, yes, you're right. Subconsciously, they have felt the difference.
Right.
And it's just a matter of how evolved are they to acknowledge that shift. Some people actually cry when I give them their new spelling. They're that evolved. They really do feel it, right?
Right.
And they acknowledge their resistance to it as well. But it just depends on what stage the person is at and also how beholden are they to other people's opinions of them.
Right,
a
right.
lot of people are so beholden to what their spouse or parents or whoever, children even, are going to think if they change the name. And so that means they're not taking full responsibility for just themselves, right?
Right.
And and their own happiness. And then you're dealing with a completely different issue as well. Right,
right.
So.
Okay. Oh, that's perfect. Okay, thank you for that little bit of information for myself.
You're welcome.
I will, yes. And so have a fabulous weekend this weekend.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fantastic. We'll miss you.
Thank you. I'll miss being there.
Yeah. Well, you'll hear from us afterwards. I'll give you the lowdown. So, okay. Thank you, Fiona.
Thank you.
And next we have area code
773. Hi, Tanya. This is Jacqueline. How are you?
Hi, Jacqueline. How are you?
Hi,
did you hear my answer?
Yes, I did. I really need what I didn't get everything. I just really need you to repeat for me if you could. You were telling me that the progressed sun is 10 degrees of Capricorn. And is that correct? In the
I'm just getting your
fourth
chart
house.
Out.
I didn't get the moon, though.
The moon is in the ninth house.
The moon is in the ninth house.
Yes, that's the house of higher education, so learning for you, you know, learning, and also for you traveling. Anything
yes.
to do with your beliefs and
what was that progress sign in the moon?
That's what I was saying. It's Gemini, just like
oh,
your
it's Gemini.
Midheaven.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know the degree?
Yes, it's at 1 degree. It just entered a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm.
I can believe that. there's
yeah.
so many things that have been happening, and so it put me off on doing a lot of things I needed to get done. When you talk about the new moon that's coming up, the thing is the retrograde, I can't do anything until after the retrograde. So,
well, that's
that?
Okay. The new moon lasts a month, the effect, so
mm-hmm.
no worries there. It's just a couple days later that Mercury goes forward again. Doesn't mean you can't plan. It's just that you don't put it into action.
Right,
so.
And that's what I'm trying to find out. When can I start putting things into action? Because I really wanted to start my blog, and I wanted to start my website, and just
mm-hmm.
a lot of things I haven't done, but I'm in the process of getting them done. So,
look, you can start with your website immediately. You just don't make it live until then. So you can do all the behind-the-scenes back-end work on your
oh,
website.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. You just don't make it live. And then when it goes live, you do that after, you know, July 1st, it'll be live and you'll have a lot of stuff on it. But you can write as much as you want. Just don't click the live button, you know, until you're ready.
Oh,
so,
okay, fine. So I can have someone, well, actually I'm having someone set it up. Okay, great. That's
mm-hmm.
wonderful. So then I can do that after.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that would be a good period because you say things are being activated with the career.
Oh, my gosh, yes. 2.5 years of this now for you. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful.
Really super.
Okay, I know you have to go, but I wanted to also ask you, are you going to have a business class coming up with
well,
how
you
to
know,
do the numbers business-wise? And
yes.
Good. Do you know how soon it might be?
Okay. You know what? The name one is first, right? That's the
okay.
one I want to focus on. I'm just going through a bit of a transition here myself, so it's somewhat late. But the business, you're talking about business numbers or business names? Like dates,
both,
names?
Business numbers, business
okay.
names, anything to do with business. And also, when would be good times, like if you wanted to talk with people about good times when they're asking about when can I go
yes.
to the dentist, when would be a good time to get surgery, when, you know, that kind of stuff I'm being asked about.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm
wondering
going to touch on some of that the end of this year, which you'll hear about in my wealth creation live event. I'll be teaching some of that. The main course for it most likely will be very, very early 2015.
Okay.
Just because it ties into wealth generation all year long. So I will be creating a course specifically for that because it'll be fabulous moment for people to learn this stuff. So
that will be
yeah.
wonderful. So I'm trying.
Yeah.
That's good. So I need to know that. So you are going to do that. That's
mm-hmm.
good. Also, someone else brought up something that I had been thinking about too, and that was with the numbers. When we were doing compatibility of numbers, I was trying to figure out, can I use those same numbers, the harmonious numbers, when you're just doing yourself, when you're doing a person, and are we looking at those numbers as being in harmony? I think someone asked that question earlier, but But
when you're doing just within yourself, like your own numbers?
Yes, when you're talking about the soul number, comparing it to the name number or what have you, are you looking at the triads? Are you looking at those individually, or you're only looking at compatibility, the numbers, comparing them with another person?
Yeah, when I look at compatibility, I do it only with another person.
Mm-hmm.
What interests me in your, when looking at just your numbers, you know, the six numbers you're talking about now.
Yes.
In your, yeah, you definitely can see patterns when you align them with the triads, and you can see which triads outweigh another, and you get your inner core relationship to those triads by virtue of doing that, right? So it is a good thing to do just to get a sense of where your natural inclinations lie regarding to the manifestation, self-expression, and mind triads.
So actually we're doing that chart, and we're dealing with the mind triad and the emotional triad. We're just dealing with that with the individual, right?
Yeah, but you're not doing a compatibility to yourself, right?
Exactly. You're
yeah.
doing compatibility numbers, harmony, and all that with another person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I really wanted to find out. Okay,
yep.
Great. And thank you.
You're welcome. Have fun with that reading I gave you.
Thank you so much.
It's good. Yeah, you're welcome, Jacqueline.
So you
So we have now Miss Angela, it looks like. I have a name here. Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Did you call Angela?
I recognize your area code. Yes. You're definitely Virginia.
Oh, my God. You're so funny. I am. I'm in Northern Virginia. And I had a quick question, Tanya. I got the name report from you recently, and someone else was asking about the name. And I definitely knew that after talking to you, I wanted to modify my name. I didn't have to do too much, you said, but I wanted to modify it. And then when I got the report and read about it, it was talking about martyrdom and all this other stuff I want to definitely get rid of. And so definitely. And I feel like that has been kind of walking around with me all these years.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, like, the number I had for my name that you said was unfortunate was 18/9. And how do you know that that's unfortunate when it seems like a 9 on some of my other numbers is a fortunate type of number, you know?
Yes, that's a great question. Well, here's the thing. The way you interpret numbers with current names is different, completely different, actually, from how you interpret the numbers for your birthday and birth name. It's a different numerology system with different connotations. So just to review that, the birthday and birth name, those numbers are neither negative or positive. They don't carry that. They just carry potential, and it's up to you to actually fulfill it or not. Your current name is very, very different. The current name indicates whether it's easy or difficult for you to fulfill your birth promise. So it has a completely different role, and it's one that you're in charge of. You're not, obviously you can't change your birthday, you can't change your birth name, but your current name being the actual driver of how easy or difficult it is carries that challenging or fortunate connotation to the numbers. So that's why you may be born on the 18th and it resonates to unconditional love and all of that. But if you have an 18 name, you're going to have a difficult time expressing that or making it happen in a way that's fulfilling, right? It has a very different connotation. So.
Okay. Thank you so much. That makes all the sense in the world. I just was, of course, I liked my middle initial, so I have to give it up. But I liked it. But that's why I'm like, okay, well, I'll have to read what she says. And then when I read the martyrdom thing, I said, I'm giving it up.
Good.
Because that is challenging. Obviously,
yeah.
It's been challenging. I've been one of those people that didn't ask for, you know, enough help in some ways and things like that. So
yeah.
Hopefully that'll make it easier then.
Yeah, that would have been a recurring theme in your life. So absolutely, by changing it would make it so much easier. And the other thing is, I mean, unless you're like Michael J. Fox or Sarah Jessica Parker, most people, when they introduce themselves, don't say Angela M. in your last name, right? They wouldn't.
Right.
Like, you don't introduce yourself that way. So this will eliminate the other problem that many people face and don't realize it is more than one name. more than one frequency, because adding the M results in a completely different number, that M middle initial, because the
right.
M resonates to a number. So then you have the sort of bipolar thing going, a multiple personality, you know. I mean, I'm not saying you have that. I'm just saying it has, you're dissipating your energy because you have two different frequencies, and it's confusing. And so choosing just one name across the board is the way to go. So
okay,
you want to make it
you.
An easy name. Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. And one last question over that, kind of related to that. If you're doing a book title, you know, does Numerology Academy, because I'm sort of new in that, does that cover how a book title can be fortunate or not? Or
oh, yeah.
Is that going to be, oh, it does somewhere in there?
Oh, absolutely. You definitely... Webinar 5, and also my new one coming out soon, which is going to go into a lot more detail regarding exactly your question, book titles. Absolutely, if you have any kind of important title, you want to get make sure it resonates to a fortunate number. Yeah, it does make a difference.
Yes.
Movie titles. I've written about it in my blog occasionally about movies that have done well and not well. And, yeah, it does make a difference. Also, the launch date. You know, I mean, it's a combination, but that's one part of the puzzle that you want to have in your favor.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Tanya.
You're welcome, Angela. Great. Okay. I can't believe it. It's 1:11 here in LA, and we got, well, now it's 1:12, and we did it all. I mean, I answered your questions. It was a marathon, quick, but we got into all of it, and it was a fantastic call. I'm just really happy about that. Again, just be patient about this retrograde and enjoy as much as you can this incredible number 13. You know, it does represent the divine feminine. So you are being awakened, your intuition, your power. It's a power number, the number 13. So feel that power surge through you. Really engage with the part of yourself that you feel empowered by. Just like Jacqueline is launching her website and writing on her blog and just need a little guidance as to when to launch it, she's moving forward. You want to do that with your life. You want to really initiate something that is lasting. Because, you know, the 13, it adds up to a 4, and that is the most lasting effect that you have. It's about patience and organization and structure and laying down roots. And so the combination of this 13 and 4 is really quite stunning. So take advantage of it, because next month it's going to be much more fluid, not quite as grounding in many ways, and you'll be on much more of an adventure next month. So enjoy that. Enjoy the retrograde as much as you can. I actually happen to really like some personally. And just, you know, make lemonade out of lemons. That's always the best way to go. See the bright side and enjoy your numbers. And I so look forward to connecting with all of you again on June 21st. So have a wonderful summer solstice, winter solstice if you're in the Southern Hemisphere. And we'll see you soon. Thanks, everyone. Goodbye.